And we turn in the way that God in the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you please. We would like to read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, three particular portions of the chapter, written by the beloved Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 2, let me read verses 3 and 4 first of all, where Paul by the Holy Spirit has written, relative to the closing days of Christianity, and his counsel to Timothy long ago. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man with warrant may handle himself with the affairs of life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Verse 15 of the same chapter, if you please. Verse 15, where we have the word saying, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, in rightly dividing the word of truth. Down in verse 19, if you please. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. May God bless the reading of these portions from his precious word. I would like particularly to give a background of this epistle that the beloved Apostle Paul wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy. Many of you that may have read and studied the letter, recall particularly in chapter 3, and the opening of that chapter, the Apostle wrote, this know also, that in the last days, perilous or difficult times shall come. I would like you to think with me for the moments we have together of the beloved apostle's writing, not only Paul himself, but even the apostle Peter, the apostle John, and the apostle Jude, as they wrote many centuries ago, that every one of them had the consciousness by the Holy Spirit, as well as the experience of even those days, of what would be prevailing at the closing days of Christianity. I don't know whether you give any thought, I'm afraid many times we fail to the seriousness of the last days of Christianity. They are filled with danger. And one can recognize, as you read this second epistle, the dangers are mentioned, which I believe every one of us can certainly put to good use in being concerned and exercised, not only regarding, and may I make it very clear, not only in regard to the salvation of lost souls, but there's one particular phase of responsibility we Christians neglect, and that is the condition of the church, and the condition of God's people, what they think relative to the closing days. Paul, John, Peter, James, Jude, they foresaw and knew what would happen, began to happen when they were upon the earth, and that was a departure from the truth of God. Now when Paul wrote this epistle to Timothy, Timothy faced the same dangers that we face relative to the testimony of the Lord in the last day. For may I say, the blessed hope of the Lord Jesus' return is the only hope for the church, for the individual believer, for the nations of the world, and for Israel. There's no possible escape from the conditions becoming worse, and the world experiencing the judgment that has come upon it before the return of our Lord to the earth. That in its importance should make us realize, for I know many of us, all of us perhaps as believers, are praying for loved ones that are not saved. And the daily prayer is that God would save them before the Lord comes, for when he comes, it'll be too late. Whether children or grown up. And then also how we need to realize, when the Lord Jesus comes, we would like to be what he wants us to be and doing what he wants us to do when he comes. If you have your Bible, I hope you follow me very quickly. As I mentioned the dangers, there's seven of them, that face Timothy, and they face us today. Chapter 1, see? Let me read verses 6 through 8, where the beloved apostle says to Timothy, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting of thy hand. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear or cowardice, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God." Very briefly, and you may read it to convenience the context preceding and following it, but one can recognize Paul saw that in Timothy, as he faced the dangers of his day at the close of the apostle's life, there was the weakness of the flesh that Timothy was experiencing. The context tells that Paul was concerned because of Timothy's fears, Timothy's timidity. Timothy was facing the dangers which we shall see, even in his day, and the weakness of the flesh. In other words, not standing up and being true to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Word of God in such times. That's one danger. God help us to be faithful, as Paul encouraged Timothy to be done, to be faithful to. Look in chapter 1 and verse 15 with me. And here is a great danger that Timothy faced, that Paul declares in verse 15. "The Lord gives, or this thou knowest, rather, that all they which be in it, which are in Asia, have turned away from thee, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." Now, I don't know whether you realize it, and I confess, frankly, we get so self-satisfied with our position, and perhaps our condition sometimes, we fail to realize how many saints turn away from the truth of God. And when you note the words of the Apostle Paul, the deception of Christians. Can I repeat it? The deception, the turning away of Christians. Paul's own converts. All they which be in Asia have turned away from thee. Christians are not always faithful to follow the truth of God. And you may marvel, and I will, that the great apostle Paul was turned away from. Then may I point out to you the two particular men that are named, Hermogenes and Phygellus. They were some of the leading Christians in Asia. And their effectiveness was very great in persuading all in Asia to turn away from Paul. And I defy you to find anything wrong with Paul's ministry and Paul's character. That's the present day danger too. Go to chapter 2 if you please. Let me quickly read with you in chapter 2. May I begin at verse 16 and read through verse 18. "But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." Now what the apostle is referring to is what is nothing but empty talk. "And their word will eat as doth a canker or a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth hath strayed, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." Now, here was the third danger already in the church. And may I say bluntly, it's more prevalent today in the testimony of Christendom than ever before. It was the entrance of false teachers. And these false teachers, if you please, Paul names them, he knew them personally. They were servants of God. But they strayed from the truth. They went astray in one special doctrine. The doctrine of the resurrection. The effect of their straying and their false teaching was not upon all, but it affected some. Now, may I make a statement? You may not understand it, but I hope you'll think of it. It is a lot easier to stray from the truth than to stand up for the truth. And particularly when somebody that's a leading teacher turns away from the truth and you follow him. Did I say a kind word and an earnest word of advice to you young believers? Test this thing. Test whatever you hear from whoever you hear it by the word of God. Go to chapter 3 if you please. There's not only the danger of the weakness of the flesh, not only the danger of the affection of faith, not only the danger of false teaching, but in chapter 3, let me read. If I may, just let me read the first 5 verses. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now these words describe, and may I very plainly state when you read the epistle, and put these words in the proper context, they're not merely describing the moral and the spiritual conditions that prevail in the world. They are describing the conditions that prevail in what we would call the profession of Christianity. But Paul is not dealing with the world in this epistle. He's dealing with the profession of Christianity. And here you have the description of the moral and low spiritual state that prevails. And these conditions, they prevail in the testimony of the Lord. May I say very earnestly, it comes to me so often, very recently, just this past week, a dear brother, I've known for many years in Canada, wrote to me, deploring the condition that he had to write to me about a month, his own fellow beliefs. Some of them are the moral character. Now may I say, these moral dangers, there are difficulties in the past. And these dangers, we need to realize. So go further down the chapter, please. Let me go to verse 10 with you to read through verse 12. And get through verse 12, okay? But thou hast fully known my doctrine, Paul's teaching, his manner of life, the purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, or love, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Here is the danger of persecution. The saints of old passed through it, as we well know. Paul recites his own experiences regarding persecution. He sums it up for all of us when he declares, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. My beloved, may I say, and I say this kindly and lovingly to you new young believers. When the Lord Jesus was upon the earth, he told his disciples, don't be surprised if the world hates you. He said it hated me. And it will hate you. And be very careful if the world pats you on the back. For to live godly in Christ Jesus in this thing, Paul says, we shall suffer persecution. The world by its wisdom doesn't know God. And with all that it contains, it cannot meet the need of a believer. For his soul and her soul, his life and hers. But here's the challenge. To live God. To live God. And willingly bear whatever persecution may be involved. May I say, I do this very frankly, and I'm sure others of you must be aware of the fact. There are beloved Christians in other lands that are suffering that we are not suffering in our country today. For the sake of the Lord Jesus. In all the third world countries, the believers are suffering for the sake of the Lord. In our country, not so much. We say yes. Then today, faith. Go down to chapter 4, please. Let me go down to verse 10 with you. And find another danger, the sixth danger. In verse 10, Paul has to write some very lamentable words. For demons have forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. That's all I want to read. Demons have forsaken me, having loved this present age. He doesn't say evil world now. Having loved this present world. Now who was demons? Well, read your Bible. You'll find he was one of the fellow workers with the Apostle Paul. In the epistles, the church epistles, you'll find him mentioned. And a fellow laborer, we call the apostle. But there came a day when demons possessed the apostle. His heart went in the wrong direction. He loved this present world. In other words, instead of doing what he had been doing, living for the Lord, he started living for himself. In regard to the present life. And what? This is a great danger when a servant of God detests from his occupation and gives up ministering the word of God just to take care of himself in his family. But, can that happen? Beloved, it can happen. It still happens. And that's quite a discouraging note. We can well say. But look at verse 6 and 7. And let me read the words of the Apostle Paul through 8. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, or the good fight is better. I finished my course, I kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now let me recapitulate. What we have touched upon very quickly. First of all, the danger of the witness of the flesh. Second, the danger of the detection of sin. Departing from the truth of God. And particularly, you'll find the saints departing from the truth of all his ministry. And third, the danger of false teaching. And I guess some of you probably got through some false teaching before you got to the Lord, didn't you? And some of you got through false teaching after you got to the Lord. And he helped you out. But there's that danger of false teaching. Peter writes in his chapter 3, that in the last time, there will be an abundance of false teaching. May I repeat again? Whoever it is, that's what they teach. Is it according to the word of God? Don't accept it. Be what we saw in the Bible reading one Wednesday night. A noble Berean. Search the scriptures to see if those things are so. Well, that's the danger of being swept away by false teachers. And here in our context, by men who were once true. You might wonder how many can go astray. Don't be surprised. The book of Job, Elihu said, I perceive that great men are not always wise. My beloved, let me say,
I do it honestly. I do it lovingly. Many a man that has been faithful to the truth of God has defected some time in his life. Not all of them, but some have. And then the danger of the moral condition. And may I point out something? If you read the 25th book of Timothy, I want you to know something. Some people don't like negative preaching. But I want to tell you, when you read the 25th book of Timothy at the last day, you've got more negatives in the epistle than you. Perhaps realize. Shun! Avoid! Turn away! Depart! I want to tell you, when God tells you to run away from something, you better run! Flee! Be vengeance! They're given to us by spirit and inspiration through the apostles. They existed in his day. Timothy faced them. So do we. And mark this. The outward manifestation of the increasing dangers of moral conditions today is rub up on the Christian. And those dangers in 1 Timothy 3. Like Paul writes at the end of it. From such what? Turn away. Don't go along with it. Came to my attention this past week from a long distance call of a certain young fellow that professes to be in the work of the Lord, commended to the work of the Lord, and working amongst young people. He goes along with all that they do. And to look at him, my friend said, he's a perfect disgrace. He looks like one of those bums that he's trying to win. Look, let me tell you this. Don't you lower your testimony when you're trying to win a soul. I read a book one time. It was in a Christian bookstore. As I browsed through the book. Giving advice. That the author would drink beer with his neighbor so he could win for Christ. That's an insult to the Lord. Beware where you go. Beware what you do. From such. Paul writing to the Ephesians in chapter 5 tells us how to reprove the unfruitful works of God. And the only way to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness is to walk in the light. And stay in that. I beg of you, don't lower the standard of Christ-like character. You will be pulled down when you try to hold Christ. You want to lift them up, you don't want them to drag you down. From such, turn away. Cost you something, yes. Comes the next danger. I prefer to live God. Persecution. Here I say you'll need it in business. If you live for the Lord. Customary thing in business today. I know it. I've seen it grow. My friend, even loved one, who has to mingle in business. Tell me. There's not a gathering of any business character but what they make and drink. Outside of business time. Beloved, look. That's the danger. Dear friend of mine, faithful believer, lost the position he was hoping and expecting to get as chairman of a board of a great corporation. All because at their director's meeting, when all the directors had liquor, he ordered tomato juice. And he said, John, you ought to see the red tomato juice. Stand down. Hold up. All right. So, from such, turn away. Persecution. And then, demons, his heart set upon the world. This present age, a servant of God, defective from his ministry. It hurts. May I tell you, I've wept more than once over some servants of God that have defected. Now look, not to discourage, point out the danger. And then last of all, as Paul says, the loss of a faithful servant of God. The time of my departure is at hand. And dear Timothy was losing his best friend upon the earth. His father in the faith, who had trained him, with whom he had labored. His son in the faith, Timothy was. No, he was departed. What was he doing? The text that we've read in chapter 2 tells us very plainly. I want to bring them to you in the closing words. In chapter 2 and verse 3, let me read verse 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So, I think there's 5 different figures in this chapter regarding what a Christian should be. But here is one, a soldier, a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And what's his responsibility? Please him. Who? The Lord in. Keep your heart right. Pleasing him. The context doesn't imply a soldier in the barracks. It doesn't imply a soldier on furlough. It implies a soldier in battle. And the affairs of life, he must be careful not to let them entangle him. His responsibility is in devotion and faithfulness to the Lord who says, keep your heart. And that heart has to be kept on prayer. Devotion to the Lord Jesus. Now Paul is referring not to things in the life that were ineligible or were a disgrace. He said, even the ordinary affairs of life. Pleasing the Lord is the supreme responsibility. My heart lacks living. What a responsibility. Pleasing him. Now please remember that Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1, if I please all men, I'm not going to please God. Paul recognized that he couldn't please God by trying to please all men, because if you try to please all men, you're going to do something that won't please God. But what is the believer's responsibility? Pleasing him. May I say, if you do this, your domestic life will be according to his law for his glory. Your business life, your school life, your social life, your attendance. Pleasing him. Not pleasing the person. That may not always be possible. The main lesson, my heart pleases. Remember when Paul was saved? First thing he said, when he found who the Lord was, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And one can well say that from dear Paul's life, his objective is to please him. Go to verse 15 in our chapter. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is keeping your head right. Study, give diligence, to show thyself, approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. In what way? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Only I say frankly, you not be the workman God wants you to be without your Bible. What good is a carpenter if he doesn't have his saw, if he doesn't have his hammer, if he doesn't have his tool? What good is anyone? Whatever profession they have, if they don't have the required to. What is the believer? The word of God, the word of truth. And to rightly divide it, in understanding it taught by the Spirit, and taking it in, For God has not given to us the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. My beloved, we many say this plainly. Don't think God's going to use you if you don't know it for. Give diligence. Rightly defining the word of truth. It can't be wrongly divided. It's too often wrongly divided. And one can see, realize, intelligently I should know my Bible. In verse 19, in closing, in verse 19, at the end of the verse particularly note these words. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, meaning his Lord, depart from iniquity. It's one of those words, one of those negatives. Flee, shun, avoid, turn away, depart from iniquity. Keep your feet wet. Be careful where you walk in your Christian life. And if you study the context, I just suggested briefly, it would take much time to cover it properly, but there's two kinds of evil to stay away from. First, moral evil. One could recognize that. And also doctrinal evil. Listen. God doesn't want his children to walk in a path not only a moral evil, but even doctrinal evil. I can love Christians because they're the children of God, but I don't have to walk there and they can't be disobeying the word of God. You may not like that. Some may say, that's not loving. Wait a minute. Go with me in 1 John chapter 5. Hey, 1 John chapter 5, please. For today, we're living at a time when men are demanding love as they sacrifice the truth. And what does God say? Let me read chapter 5 and verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of God. Sure, I know, as a believer, I can love, should love all other believers. Now, read the next verse. But by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. My Father tells me, be sure I love him first and follow his word. And that will prove to my fellow believer how much I love. Don't tell me that I love my fellow believer when I go out down in the ditch. Don't tell me I love my fellow believer when I follow the teaching that is absolutely contrary to the word of God. No. And then I say frankly, doctrinal evil will always, practically always, lead to all of you. Keep your feet. Dangers, yes, but, oh, beloved, in these closing days, keep the heart. The one objective, the one devotion, please. Him. Second, Lord, help me to study the word. Rightly devote the word that I may follow. And to keep my feet departing from evil. Whatever form of iniquity, whether it's doctrinal, or whether it's more. May I remind you of something? If you know your Bible, and I think you do know this one, the Lord Jesus called it a narrow way, isn't it? Isn't it? Narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. Broad is the road that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in there. Don't be any narrower than the word of God, but be just as broad as the word of God. So keep that in mind. These are dangers. But oh, how we need, and God grant we will, keep the heart right. Lord Jesus, please help me to do everything that pleases you. Wherever I am. Lord, please. Maybe we do need more help in the head, don't we? Just not in the world. How much time you get to the study of the word? Are you rightly dividing? Let me encourage you. You've got the divine teacher, the Holy Spirit. You've got the divine library, the whole 66 books. And you've got divine wisdom by the Spirit that leads you into the truth. And then, please remember, not only keep your heart right, not only your head right, but keep the feet walking. And I'm sure if you begin with the heart, you are with the head, it'll take care of the feet. And we can live for the glory of God. Now may I ask you a question? Maybe some of you are not saved. No. You don't want to go to hell, do you? The Lord comes. These things will ruin the world. And they tell the believer, the coming of the Lord is near. And if you came tonight, you might have been in his chapel, Sunday after Sunday, listening to the gospel, and you'll never get saved. I want to tell you, if the Lord comes this week, you can come next Sunday, but the Christian won't be there. And you can have the whole chapel to yourself, all right. Give you the title deed to the building. Well, we Christians were one. We've got a better house up there. But friend, look, if you're unsaved, why don't you come to the Lord? How tragic it would be. You hear the message. You hear the warning. You hear the pleading. And still you make no effort to say, Lord Jesus, I want thee for my Savior. God grant you a patience. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, our time is short here. The coming of the Lord is here. Oh, how we thank you for the dear ones that have been saved. How we pray for one another in these dangerous days. Thy Holy Spirit will have his hand of power and blessing upon us to keep our hearts right, to keep our heads right, and to keep our feet right. And all for those dear friends that hear the gospel and never trust the Savior, please shake them. May they realize they're on the brink of hell. And if the Lord came, that's all the issue. And then, Lord, we just pray for those loved ones for whom we still daily plead for thee to save them before the Lord comes. Do that, Lord, remembering all thy people and all those that need our prayers as we give thee thanks. Pray that this word, preached in sin, may have its blessing in the heart and life of everyone in our Savior's will. Amen. Well, thank you. The Lord bless you. Now, be sure, I hope you'll keep your heart on.
Amen. Thank you.